Don't you? Yeah. Well, welcome to Catalyst. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are in a series called Total Family Makeover. I'm glad you guys came here today. What we're talking about today is just fantastic. I'm so fired up about it, and I hope that you'll be able to take this and apply it in the house. Now, at the end of this month, today's May 1st. Can you believe it's May? I cannot believe it's May already. I love May because it's my birthday month. Woohoo! And so on May 29th, we're finishing up this series, and we are looking for testimonies of things that you've been able to take and apply in your home from this series. We're gonna have a big celebration of the family on May 29th. It's family worship time. And so if you have been able to take something that you've heard in the last series and apply it, and you've seen God work in your home because of it, we want to know about it, and we want to celebrate it on the 29th. So make sure that you're letting us know. We'd love to hear that kind of stuff. All right, today we're talking about something very, very easy within the family, okay, within the home, communication. And so I found that most conflict, not just in the home, but in life in general, is due to miscommunication. You've probably found that too. Organizations, families, marriages, etc. Most conflict is due to miscommunication or poor communication. Now, guys, we're operating off the belief that the home is God's plan. It is His design. The home, you may be single, you may be married, you may be empty nesters, you may be divorced, but you have a home. The home is God's plan. And so, so do you think that structuring your home, which is God's plan according to God's will, is a good thing? I believe it is. And so does God's word say anything about communication? Does the word of God have anything to say about how we live daily? Does the word of God have anything to say about what sets us up for success in our homes and our lives? Absolutely yes. And matter of fact, I found, I believe with all my heart, that everything boils down to the word of God. Everything. The word of God has everything to do with what we do in life. When I found that when I failed, on reflection, times I've messed up, I've made mistakes, it's when I have not followed what the Word of God says. And the times when I've been successful, it's when I followed what the Word of God says. So when it comes to our homes and our families, communication is key. So what does the Word of God have to say about communication? Well, the golden rule of communication is this, Matthew 7:12. You guys may have heard it before, but this is the golden rule of communication. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is all known as the golden rule. It sums up the whole Bible. Treat others how you want to be treated. Let's make this into communication. Communicate with others the way you want to be communicated with. Now, I want you to think about this past week. Just this past week. I'm not talking about the last month, the last year. I'm talking about just this past week. How many of us in here have broken this rule? We've spoken to people the way we've spoken to people in our homes. We've used tones that hurt, words that hurt, words and tones that we would not want directed towards us. I used to speak a lot of youth camps and youth retreats. They're great. All right, I love it. Everyone gets really, really spiritual at these youth retreats. I don't know if you knew that. How many of y'all been to a youth retreat or a youth camp or something like that? Everybody gets really spiritual. Everybody gets really Christian. Yeah, lots of promises and vows and rededications of last year's rededication, which was the last rededication of last year's rededication. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody gets really, really, really spiritual. And have you ever been to one of those things, the last night? The speaker always gives the same talk. It's always the same talk. Okay, the speaker gets up there and he says, "Young people, it's easy for us to live for Christ while we're up here on the mountain, but tomorrow we're going to be down in the..." You've heard the same talk. Well, anyway, everybody gets real spiritual. Everybody gets real Christian and really dedicated. But then the parents show up. And I know nothing's really changed in their lives because of the way the students talk to their parents, the way they communicate with their parents when they arrive. Don't tell me your heart's changed if your mouth hasn't, people. Lots of these kids can't even make it 10 minutes without saying something rude or disrespectful or ugly to their parents when they come to pick them up. The mouth is a tremendous indicator of how much your heart is tuned towards Jesus. Please write that down. Please write that down. If I truly wanted to know who was a follower of Jesus Christ and who wasn't, I simply look at the way they talk to their family. Way they looked, way they talked about their family. That, more than anything, is an indicator of how much your heart is tuned towards God. All right, don't tell me you're devoted to Christ if a steady stream of profanity and cursing and negativity and gossip and insults is flowing out of your mouth in your home. Don't even bother, because you're not fooling anyone, okay? Don't tell me your heart is surrendered to Jesus if your mouth isn't. So with that being said, what we have to communicate is such a huge part of who we are. Now, so many people will say that they're just not good at communicating, men especially. Men especially say, I'm just not good at communicating, okay? Well, it's kind of like this soccer ball, all right? Now, this soccer ball is a canary in the coal mine for communication. Check this out, all right? All right, see, why is this ball staying on top of my head? Why is it staying on top of my head? I'm messing up. Like this, okay? Why is it doing this? Why is the ball doing this right here? Because I'm telling it to. This ball has no mind of its own, right? I'm communicating to this ball to do this. Now I need a volunteer. Come here, Paul. Okay, I've asked for a volunteer here. See, I'm a soccer coach, and one of my jobs is to teach guys how to control this. Okay, how to control the ball. Okay, Paul, you see this right here? Okay, we're gonna juggle, okay? Are you ready? Okay, people here, you might wanna cover your heads. Okay, all right, come over here. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to take this ball, and I want you to juggle it like 3 or 4 times, just right up in the, okay, like that. Just do that.
I play hockey.
let's see it, okay? That's pretty good. Okay, now, what I need to ask is, Paul, why did the ball, do it one more time. Try it one more time. Okay, why did the ball go over there?
I think he deflated it a little bit.
Maybe. No, guys, the ball went over there because Paul told it to. Okay? The ball went over there because this has no mind of its own. And if misfires are happening in your home, it's not because you don't know how to communicate. It's because you're communicating the wrong thing. You haven't learned how to communicate yet. We're always communicating. Try one more time. Okay, try one more time. See if you can get it to go, to juggle it. 4 times if you can. 4 times. See if you can get two. See if you can get two. Oh, whoa. Okay. All right. So, ball, why'd the ball go over there?
I think I have some latent hostilities.
Latent hostilities. Very good. Now, the ball went over there because you told it to. Okay? And, guys, if our homes are going off in different directions, wrong directions, it's because we're telling it to. Through communication, we're telling it to go in the wrong direction. So we have to look at what the Word of God says about how to control the communication in our home so it does everything that we want it to do. All right? Thank you, Paul. Very good. Guys, that is what we have to do. We're always communicating. Always, always, always. Okay? Remember that. You are always communicating. Human beings are masters of communication. And it is so funny. Whenever I say that, people are like, no, I'm not. Okay, I want to ask you what I am communicating right now. Aggravation, disappointment, frustration. I didn't even say a word. And yet you knew exactly what I was communicating. What am I communicating right now? Excitement, joy. I didn't say a word, did I? I didn't say a word, did I? Human beings are masters of communication. Masters. And you're always, always communicating. With that in mind, knowing that you're always communicating, let's take a look at what the Word of God says about how we're supposed to communicate. Check this out. I want you guys to look at James 1:19. It's called the 1:19 plan. And there are 12 words that if people in Catalyst Christian Church will take home and apply, your lives, your homes will be completely and totally different. 12 words, only 12 words is the key to completely changing your home. James 1:19 says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Say that with me. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. 12 words. 12 words. And I want you to think about your home. Is that your home? Or is it the opposite? Are people quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to become angry? Let's take a look at the first thing. The 119 plan. Apply this. Be quick to listen. Proverbs 18:13 says this: to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Wow. Author Stephen Covey says this. He says this: if I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have learned in the field of interpersonal communication, it would be this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. This principle is key to effective interpersonal communication. Seek first to understand and then be understood. Our nation is always, it seems like everybody just wants to be understood. You need to listen. You need to understand me. Is anyone seeking to understand? You cannot understand if you don't listen. It's no coincidence that the Word of God puts this first in this passage. Be quick to listen. That's the first thing in communication. Okay? Now, I need another volunteer. I need a volunteer. Come on up here. You can come up here again, Paul. All right? Check this out. In order to listen, you have to do something called be fully present. Have you ever been talking with someone and they're there, but they're not even there? Maybe in your home, okay? Paul, what is your, you said you play hockey, okay? What is your favorite team?
The team that I'm playing on.
Tell me about it.
Well, they're the Stars. It's an old man league, so I'm one of the youngest guys on the team. And I play right wing. And I'm profoundly bad at it.
Okay, good. Okay, now, I was here, wasn't I? What was I doing? I was not there. I was on the phone, I was watching TV, I was preoccupied. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. Did you feel listened to? Mm-mm. No. I was disrespectful. I was not paying attention. I was not listening. I was present, but I wasn't fully present. Now, how many of us in our homes, this is us, maybe our wife, maybe our husband, maybe our kids, maybe our parents want to say something to us and we couldn't be bothered. We're there, but we're not there. We're not fully present. One of the rules for Christian homes, thanks, man. One of the rules for Christian homes, be fully present. If you're at work, be at work. If you're at home, be at home. If you're at dinner table, be at the dinner table, but be fully present. For communication to happen, you must be fully present. It's time to turn off the cell phones, turn off the TV, turn off everything, and be fully present, because everyone knew exactly what I was communicating to Paul right there. I was communicating that I could have cared less, right? Now, you get a steady stream of that in your home, no wonder communication breaks down. Be fully present. In order to be quick to listen, you must be fully present. Write that down. Three words: be fully present. Please write that down. The second thing that the Word of God tells us is be slow to speak. Once we're quick to listen, we need to be slow to speak. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them." I don't really even need to say anything else after that, do I? How many of us, if we were honest with ourselves, have gotten in trouble because we spoke too quickly? We have looked stupid, we have looked foolish, we have upset people, because we simply said something without thinking about it first. The Word of God says to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Not everything that is in here needs to come out here. Right? Okay? That is, be slow to speak. Think about your words. Wisdom is the ability to foresee the consequences of your actions. Wisdom is the ability to foresee the consequences of speaking this. If I use this tone, if I use these words, what will be the consequence? Will it be what I want it to happen? Okay, that's what wisdom is. Part of the 119 plan. The third thing that it says, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 29:8 says, "Mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger." Wise people take anger and turn it away. That's what the Word of God says. That if you're wise, that you see anger coming your way, you deflect it. You don't stir it up. Okay? I've noticed in 20 years of marriage, in 17 years of being a father, I've noticed one thing is that very, very few problems are solved well after 10 o'clock. That's a really funny video, but I absolutely hated what that woman said. I'm ready to stay up all night until you say I am right. How horrible. How awful. I found that after 10 o'clock, very few problems are solved well. You've probably done this too. In my younger years being married, my wife and I would get into something and it'd be a small problem, but because it was after 10 o'clock, we were tired, we were irritable. Man, it just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled, and in 2, 3, 4 hours later, we're still arguing and it's escalated, and man, it is horrible and we don't even know what we're arguing about. We're just angry and we're just going at it, and then we finally fall asleep, and in the morning, it's like, what in the world were we fighting about? I'm sorry too. That guy. Guys, that's the way. How many of you all have done that? I have done that. So, guys, we established a 10 o'clock rule. After 10 o'clock, the only two problems we're going to solve, the house is on fire or somebody's getting murdered. That's it. Those are the only two problems that get our attention after 10 o'clock. As a matter of fact, nothing should happen in a Christian home after 10 o'clock except sleep and sex. That's it. Make that your rule. Because this, when you are communicating, pay attention to your physical state. When you are hungry and when you're tired, communication breaks down. It's true. When you are hungry and when you're tired. Now, this is what I recommend. If at 9:59 you all are having an argument, whether it's parent-child, whether it's spousal, whether it's whatever, if you're having an argument at 9:59, set the alarm. At 10 o'clock, stop and say, have the maturity, have the wisdom to say, we're both hungry, we're both tired. Let's go to sleep. And if it's still a problem in the morning, after breakfast, we'll talk about it. And that takes every bit of maturity, every bit of wisdom, because, oh, we just want to deal with this problem right now. We got to get it. I got things I got to say. Have some maturity, have some wisdom, go to sleep. And if it's still a problem in the morning, 99% of the time, it won't be. Then deal with it with a full night's sleep and a full stomach. This is why, because you will not be tempted to say things that could really destroy your home. What's the best way to take back words that you didn't mean? Don't say them. Exactly. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Slow to become angry is what the Word of God says. Now, second thing that we have to understand, once we apply the 119 plan, we have to understand that men and women communicate differently. Okay? Women really are from Mars, Venus, and men are from Mars. We are talking two completely different languages, and that's okay. I used to think that was a problem. I used to think it was my job to get my wife to see things my way, and she used to think it was her job to get me to see things her way. She still thinks that. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't. Okay? But get this. Men communicate differently than women do. Men communicate information. Women primarily communicate feelings. It's okay. It's the way God made us. Look at what Genesis 1:27 says. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created them both. He created women to process the world emotionally. That's okay. That's his design. He created men to process the world logically. That's okay. That's his design. Guys, it's okay. You have to understand that we communicate differently. All right? Men and women process the world differently. Okay? Men typically use logic. They want to know what happened. Women typically, not always, but typically, process the world using emotion. How did it make them feel? And that's okay. It's good. It's the way God designed it. Neither's right or wrong. It's the way it is. That way by God's design. Men in here, you have to understand that women are looking at the world through a very different lens. And women, you need to understand that men are looking at the world through a very different lens. Yes, it is frustrating, and that's why the rule for Christian households is grace. Grace. We have to understand that we're living with two different people, and it's grace. This is an interesting thing, and this may help with communication. Because men and women are different, they use different amounts of words. The average man speaks about 8,000 words per day. That's the average man. There's some that speak less, some that speak more. The average woman uses around 20,000 words per day. Okay? Now, what could possibly go wrong? Okay, let's just take a scenario where let's say we've got a man who's at work and we've got a stay-at-home mom. That doesn't always happen, but this for instance. Okay? Now, he's been at work. He's used up 7,999 of his words. By the time he gets home, he rolls home at 5:30. She's at home. She's used maybe 500. And most of them have been, quit, okay? And so he is about saturated. He's about done. Women, let me give you a little insight into men. When we have reached our 8,000-word limit, it's like we've run a marathon. We're exhausted. Asking us to speak is like asking us to jump over the moon. We're exhausted. Okay, it's not that we don't want to connect with you. We can't talk. It's like asking a marathon runner to run another marathon. We can't do it without some rest. Okay? So women, maybe that's one of the reasons why when your husband or when a guy gets home from work, he just wants to sit there for a little bit. It's not that he's disconnecting from you. It's not that he's ignoring you. He's exhausted. He's used his words. Okay? Men, you have to understand this, that women will use more than twice the amount of words throughout the day than us. It's natural to them. And when she's peppering you with questions, she is wanting to connect with you. She's not nagging. She's not overwhelming you. She's wanting to connect with you, okay? But here's an impasse. It's physical. It's not a question of the will. It's physical. It's a physical thing, the way that God created us. So we have to come to that understanding, and there needs to be grace, okay? Like I said, very few problems are solved well after 10 o'clock. That's one of the reasons why, because a lot of times, men, we're just done. Okay, so understand that. So, knowing that, knowing the 119 plan, knowing, let's communicate. There are four levels of communication. Number one, we have an exchange of cliches. That's the level number one. That's how are you, have a nice day, etc., like that. The second level is sharing of data and information. Impersonal and non-threatening, it's just kind of talking about weather, sports, and things like that. Okay, level three is sharing part of yourself. Maybe your opinions, maybe attitudes, dreams, goals, and values. Level four, sharing all of yourself. That's level four. Sharing all of yourself, feelings, emotions, joys, and fears. When this is true, real satisfying, life-giving communication happens. God does not intend our homes to stay at the level one and two. That's not his intention. He wants us to go to level four. Listen to what. So these are the things that we need to communicate in our home, reaching that level four. First one is love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love must be regularly communicated in our homes. Remember, you're always communicating. Always, 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 always communicating. So communicate love. You can have the most successful home, the most disciplined home, the most clean home. But if you don't have a loving home, you have nothing. It's like a beautiful tomb. It may look nice, but inside there's no life. Dead. Nobel Prize winning author Toni Morrison was asked why she was such a great writer. She was asked about her education. She was asked about her teachers, her experiences, etc. Morrison was quiet as she thought about it. Then she said, when I was a little girl, get this, dads. When I was a little girl, when I would walk into the room where my dad was, his eyes would light up. That's why I'm a great writer. There's no other reason. So much brokenness in our homes here in America, you guys. Many times, love is not communicated. The Bible truly tells us, though, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There may be major brokenness in your home. I'm not immune to that. Some of you adults may be having a terrible time, maybe with your ex. If you're divorced, believe me, I'm no stranger to that. My work with the inmates at Inside Out Dad has exposed me to some of the nastiest and ugliest family situations I've ever seen. But does that excuse you from the command to love? In fact, Jesus specifically addresses this. He says to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. That includes members of our families, people. Your biggest enemy in life may be someone you share a home with or a last name with. Your biggest enemy in life may be someone you used to share a bed with. Your biggest enemy may be someone you pay child support to or who pays you child support or who doesn't. God's command is specifically to you. Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. For those of you who are divorced and have children, I want you to remember a simple statement. Your ex is not your child's ex. When you bash and insult and call names and communicate your bitterness and anger to your children, it does something to them. Your children are half you and half them. When you call your ex a name to your children, what are you saying about your children? Your father is an irresponsible, shiftless bum, you say to your son who shares half his genes. Your mother is a conniving, manipulative so-and-so, you say to your daughter who has half her genes. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, they were walking and they're griping about their mission. And they asked Tom Hanks, who's the captain, he says, hey, aren't you going to gripe? He goes, no. Griping goes up. You guys gripe to me. I gripe to my CEO. He gripes up. I want that same rule. These apply in our homes. Parents, let your children gripe to you. You gripe to your parents. You gripe to your pastor. You gripe to God. You do not gripe to your children. Griping always goes up. It does not go down. Okay? Our children don't need that. We need to communicate love. Gripe up, not down. Okay? That's the first thing. Love needs to be communicated in our family regularly. Second thing is faith in God. Second, the faith in God must be communicated. I love Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I want to ask one simple question. We're talking about communication. One simple question to the families here at Catalyst Christian Church. 8 simple words. How often is faith communicated in your home? It's a simple question. How often is faith communicated in your home? How often does Christian conversation happen in your home? The importance of God's word and faith in God need to be communicated regularly in your home. For example, have you discussed this upcoming election? It's a big deal. Through a Christian perspective in your home. Have you looked at what God's word, have you shared that with the members of your family, what God's word says about this election, about what we look for in a leader? One of the big things in my house right now, my daughter being a junior, we're about to move into this college thing. And have I communicated to my daughter, this is one of the biggest decisions of her life, affecting her future. Have I communicated the need for God's will in this, for the seeking of God's will for her life, communicating that God has a plan and that she needs to find that? Have I communicated that, or am I just saying, hey, go wherever you find, wherever you want? Guys, faith in God must be communicated in our home. And the third, and this is what fires me up as a dad, okay, is discipline. Hebrews 12, 9 through 11 says this, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father's spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, though, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Guys, I always view discipline as punishment. You do something wrong, you get your rear end whooped for it. I always thought that's what discipline is. That's not what discipline is. Discipline is different. Discipline comes from the word discipulus, which means to teach. I want to speak to the fathers here for a second. Everyone else pay attention, but this is to the fathers. You have a unique relationship with your children, fathers. You are in a teacher-disciple relationship. A teacher-disciple relationship. Relationship with your children. You are the teacher, they are your disciples. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but that is your relationship with your children, and it will be that way till the day you die. I'm still a disciple of my father, he's still my teacher. My children will be my disciples, and I will be their teacher till the day they die. It doesn't change, okay? Just as Jesus had his 12 disciples, you have disciples, and they're your children. You are the teacher, they are disciples. You are charged by God with the impossible task. With the impossible task of being the teacher to your children. You have been charged by God to teach them faith in God, respect, honesty, integrity, work ethic, independence, financial sense, love, etc. You are their teacher. They are your disciples. I guess the question is, how are you doing? How are you doing in that relationship? How are you discipling your children? Mothers, you are in the same relationship with your children. You're in a teacher-disciple relationship with them too. It is not your job to be their friends. You are not in a friendship relationship. You are a teacher. They are your disciples. It is not your job to make sure they are happy. That is their responsibility. It is not your job to make life easy and fun for them. It is your job to prepare them for adulthood. That is what needs to be communicated. Parenting is preparing your children for adulthood. You are not raising children. You're raising adults. Okay? I want to invite the band to come on back up as I share this. This is one of the few things I want to share that I actually did well. I was having major trouble with my son back when he was in second grade. See, in our household, the kids set their own alarms and they get themselves up and whatever they're capable of doing, we don't do anything for our kids they can do for themselves. I was having major trouble with Sam getting him out of bed. He couldn't get out of bed. The blanket was extra heavy for him for some reason. Okay, the alarm wouldn't wake up, and then he'd get up and he'd sit there. I mean, maybe he has like a 10 kilobyte processor where he just didn't get up very well. He's not a morning person. So he'd sit there, and I'd go in there. It'd be 10 minutes till it's time for us to leave, and I'd be, Sam, get out, get dressed, or if you're not, brush your teeth. And it was like that every single morning, and I was going nuts, and he was upset, and I was upset, starting the morning off terrible. And I said, this is not working. It's not working. I can't keep doing this because it's actually getting worse. He's waiting for me to come in and yell at him. He's not taking initiative. And so I said this. I found out what my son loves to go out and play. So I said, Sam, I'm not going to come in here anymore. What I expect, set your own alarm, be in the car by 7:45. If you are not in the car, teeth brushed, lunch made, breakfast eaten, everything. If you're not in there by 7:45, you're not going to play. You're just going to go straight to your room for the rest of the day. And his eyes got wide. Are you serious? I said, ask anybody. And he said, okay. The next morning, he set his alarm for 6 a.m. He was ready to go at 6:15. And he came in to my room with his backpack, teeth brushed, already eaten breakfast, lunch made, everything like that, and said, Dad, I'm ready. I'm like, go back to sleep. And he goes, can I play? And I said, yeah, you can. And he goes, waking up early is awesome. And he runs out. And from that time, only one time have we ever had, he was gotten in the car at like 7:47. And he had to spend the day in his room. But guys, preparing our children for adulthood, that's what adults do. Adults prepare. Adults do that. They don't have to be reminded. And guys, parents, we are training, we are discipling, we are disciplining our children and preparing them for adulthood. That has to be communicated in the home. Matthew 7:12 says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Go home and communicate. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you.